This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlandson. I'm joined this afternoon by Ash Dupreez. Ash, how are you?
How are you doing, lads? You alright, yeah?
Yeah, good, thanks. And also with us this afternoon is James Rushton. Are you well, friend?
Yeah, very happy. A lovely little international break. It's too many wins. to start the season.
I mean, the international breaks are boring and I dislike them, but we've got time to fill, I guess, time to reflect. I've put on a Villa shirt special for the occasion. I don't know what you two are playing. I've pulled out the old classic badge that I don't really like, but nice shirt, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I'm the lowest bar. I've got a nice little Nike shirt on. The hole in. No one can see the hole.
Ah, I've got the badge anyway, tattooed, because you made this deal before we went on, so I'll show everyone quickly.
Oh, then, that's it. Get your legs out.
Oh.
Get the legs out for the ladies.
Yeah. 9 years ago.
Wow, interesting. I don't really like this badge, but it's all right. I won't get it tattooed on my leg, though. that's next level. So obviously we do these live after every game and we get a lot of questions come through, and we don't really often have the time to assess all the questions because we're here to just talk about the latest game. So today is your opportunity to sit with us on Facebook Live or on Twitter this afternoon and ask us your questions. Obviously this will be available as a podcast after the fact as well. We'll maybe try and do these a bit more regularly. So if you've got questions for us, this is your opportunity to do so, and I'll get to them. Before we wait for us to drop in, we'll start with some general thoughts on Arsenal. The first time the three of us have spoken about it, me and Matt did our post-match podcast, so we'll start with you, James. What did you think of that Arsenal game?
Really happy. I know I made the joke after Leeds about having to rewatch the match, having to listen to it on the radio and rewatch it afterwards, knowing what was happening. But the Arsenal one was a delight. Just the 3-0, it just didn't stop coming. Like, even after the early goal being disallowed, it was just Villa absolutely all over them. And you know, it's a pleasure because you think, oh, it's going to just settle out at some point. And you see the loss to Leeds, the loss to Southampton. You're like, oh, yeah, we might get a draw at Arsenal. We might carry on the losses. But like, to get the win and kind of get back to that form we showed is it's really impressive. So, yeah, really, really happy.
And you were at the Emirates, Ash. What was that match day experience like?
Well, it was very special indeed. You know, it's good when my dad texts me saying Villa are unreal because he's quite a pessimist. Me and my dad. Yeah, he said... he's quite negative about the Villa usually. But yeah, special performance, the most complete performance. I prefer it the Liverpool, because obviously exceeding two against Liverpool, but against Arsenal, the taught him a real lesson. Again, statement liking what they've done. Just bodes so well for the season ahead. I think Villa fans are right to get excited about this group of players for me. It's just unbelievable what they're doing, as Arsenal found out. So yeah, very special, and it bodes well for the season ahead. For sure.
I asked the question on our Facebook page either today or yesterday about how much this squad is likeable. I mean, it was the last time we had a squad this likeable as a whole, and I think the general consensus was that the O'Neill days. Is that something that you both agree with? Because it's been likeable players over the last few years. We had some players that I've enjoyed watching in the Championship, but as a squad as a whole, there's nobody I look at now and think, oh, I wouldn't mind if he left. I'm not quite keen on him. I like all the players and as characters as well.
Yeah, even with Benteke, I think people got really annoyed about the kind of contract back and forth. So it was always that. And I think, you know, whatever that was right or wrong with these set of players, like to a T, you can't like fault them. I don't know what you think, Ash.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it does mirror that O'Neill side, to be fair. Swashbuckling, the way they went out. Yeah. They fancy themselves every week. And I think Villa do now as well. Young, hungry side. I know Martinez is 28, but he talks
good
like
age for a goalkeeper.
He talks like an 18-year-old kid. Is that engrossed in it all? And from back to front, Cash being brilliant, Watkins as well. They're just all close knit, and you see that on the pitch and behind the scenes as well. And they're absolutely buzzing at the moment, spearheaded by that man Jack Grealish as well. So yeah, I couldn't be more pleased with what they're doing at the moment. To be fair, incredible.
We've not had a question about Jack Grealish, but the first question that has come in is a little bit of a negative, so we'll put that out of the side for a second. Let's talk about Jack Grealish, because every time I watch him, I think, oh, he's unbelievable, such a talent. Surely this is his peak, surely this is the best he can be, and then he plays another game and he takes it up a level, and you just sit back and have to appreciate him. Gareth Southgate saying he needs to be more athletic, he needs to be quicker, and he outpaces Hector Bellerin and shoulder barges him into 2021. Unreal talent.
Yeah. I think he goes down too easily or holds it onto the ball too long.
I think he holds Villa back, to be honest. I think grass. He stops us going forward.
He's not very good when the grass is too long, and it's all these things in his favour. You know, it's all his team, isn't it? But nah, he's brilliant, and he's been like that. I think, what was the game when he come back from that kidney injury? I think it was Bristol City, New Year's Day, when he hammered them 5-0, and we just thought, what a player. Where has this come from? And since then, it's just never stopped peaking, never stopped ascending. He's been incredible. And I think, what we all thought, oh, he might be a little bit better than Andre Green or this and that. He's been amazing. The last 3.5 years have been genuinely, genuinely incredible. And he just doesn't stop improving. It's incredible.
As a journalist, Ash, you need to describe these players in a written form. Are you running out of superlatives for Captain Jack?
I'm doing a half-term report on the Villa squad. The gaffer's asked me to do. I'm doing A-star, so A-star pupil, of course. yeah, you are, to be fair. Just a no fear. All he's playing on the playground for him, it's just incredible. Players can't deal with him, as I've said, and just beggars belief how we can't get in England starting 11 for me. His stats speak for themselves. He's outperforming and outscoring everyone. You run out of superlatives for him, you really do. Best player of the generation for me. I don't know what other Villa fans think. Where's he rank in terms of greatness at Villa? It's got to be up there now, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's probably a generational thing, isn't it, as well? Because in my time, he's the best player I've ever seen at Villa in terms of quality on the ball and his talent and all the Villa fan stuff, and him being captain is just the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Incredible.
It's like having one of the X-Men in the team. He just does whatever he wants. It's genuinely, because when I think back to when I started watching Villa, it was just you had Paul Merson just doing some madness, and then that hasn't really happened constantly for Villa. I think Ashley Young's massively underrated, and that was at my peak of watching Villa when I got my first season ticket. Ashley Young, who's just doing everything he wants, free kicks, wizardry on the ring, the pace, the last minute goals, the heroism, he's just doing everything. But Grealish is just such at a level above that now, and it's just... when he's got the ball, he could just do whatever he wants. He can run into a player, he can win the foul, get the team up the pitch, get the set piece, or he can just do him over and just get a goal from anywhere, or get the assist or the key pass or the chance. It's just out of words. I don't know how you do it, Ash.
He's so good. Let's go to some of these questions then. I assume this episode will be a little bit all over the place, because I'm going to try and do them in chronological order, so we might flip and flop around. Danny Barker is the first question that came in after Kimmy says, I like that badge, which, yeah, fair enough, you're entitled to it, right? But Danny says, do you guys think Target is a weak link in the squad? Now, this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because Matty Target gets a bit of stick, sometimes unfairly, in my opinion, sometimes rightly so. If you assess that squad as a whole, that first 11, let's say, he is the weakest part of that 11, but I don't say that and mean he's a terrible player. I just think he's not as good as the others. Is that fair?
I'll jump in there, James, because you're as good as your last game. And for me, I thought he was close to getting man of the match for me on Sunday. I'm not saying daft.
He was good.
He was brilliant on Sunday. Just get a raw deal of it sometimes, because he's the left back, isn't he? When Villa are scoring goals for fun, he doesn't really get a mention. But down his side, he's really troubled, to be fair. I mean, Cash has struggled now and again this season up against Leeds and whatnot. Target side has been pretty all right. Okay, he's got Jack Grealish ahead of him as well. But an understated player for me, Target. His left foot's like a wand as well. He assisted brilliantly on Sunday for Trezeguet at the back post or the own goal. And just the balls he was putting in, there's clear game plan from Smith, that was. He was getting balls in between Holding and Bellerin, and Jack Grealish and Barkley were doubling up there and just causing mayhem. So, yeah, Target, credit where it's due. He was good as your last game, and he's a solid left-back as they come for me. He's doing all right.
In that triangle, do you know when they did that little bit before the first goal, before his assist, everyone giving Barkley and Grealish the credit, but there's three players involved in that until the Trezeguet, and Target's one of them, so he has to have as much credit, I think.
Yeah, the bribery to go beyond as well, so, yeah, unreal.
just jump into the most recent comments. Patrick just said squad or first 11. That's a big difference. That is fair. In terms of first 11, yeah, he's the weakest link. In terms of the squad, obviously there's players on the bench that are weaker. We'll come to squad depth a little bit later. Butterbeams, great name, says, how should we use Wesley when he is available? That's an interesting comment. I'll let you take that, Ash, first, because I don't really have an opinion, because I don't think he'll get back in the side.
I think so, yeah. I was having to think about this last night, obviously, and yeah, I mean, the way Watkins has started, he's already ahead of Wesley in his goals return, which says a lot about the team he's playing in. Barkley, Grealish next to him. Goals for fun. So I just wrote a piece there. Can Watkins better Benteke his 19 goal total in 2012-2013, do you reckon? He's done six now, so he's only 13 away, 14 away from doing that. I think he can. I really do. I think he's on for 20 goals for me. Yeah. As far as the question's concerned, Wesley, I think he's going to struggle. It's more to take time with him. It's a bad injury, wasn't it? We won't see him until the new year. Ease him in gradually. And who knows, could we see Watkins in a wide position? I know people don't want to see that. Could they play together at some stage? It's questions for Smith to look at. But yeah, I can't see Wesley getting in this side as it stands.
Yeah, I think when all it says is when Ollie Watkins shoots on goal, the third of the time it's hitting the back of the net. When it's on that shot on target, 60% of the time it's going in. You didn't expect that of Wes. And I think, look, it's not doing him down. I think he's going to come back and he's going to be like a good change of pace. He's going to give teams a handful. He's going to give them something to think about. When they're dealing with Ollie Watkins successfully, bring Wes on, change things up. And I think that's the best thing you can expect of a player coming off like an ACL, MCL injury as well.
I think someone made a good point in our post-match podcast the other day, saying someone in the comments said that Wesley in this side in 2020 Aston Villa might be very different to what he was in the struggling 2019 Aston Villa, which, yeah, is a fair point, and one that's the hypotheticals of football, isn't it? We'll never quite know. Jaden says, where do you think we will finish? Would we be able to push for Europe this season? In brackets, ambitious. I don't know whether that's his opinion or a statement. I'll let you two take this first. You go up first, James. Where do you think we're going to finish?
I'm going to say, right now I feel like eighth, but I think if it settles off, you can't be like really upset with. I think there's a lot of fans that might be really upset if we get like 12th or 15th, and because of the start we've had. But I think you've done all the hard work, right? I mean, you're going to slump off at some point, maybe. So I feel like 8th to 12th might be a better expectation.
I would be disappointed if we finished 15th. Yeah. My standards have changed since the start of the season. Yes, staying in the Premier League is the ultimate, but the start we've had and as good as the lead we've got already in terms of points, to be 15 points at this stage in the season, if we finish 15th, I think that is a disappointment.
I'd be happy with 12th. Because that's when football manager, they let you change the expectations, and I think Dean Swift's still going to be thinking, hang on a minute, like 15th's all right if we are to slump off. But look, I think it's just the ambition of the side, how everything's kind of changed. Because I think internally they might be thinking, right, 8th is just what we can hit now, which you know, for me, that's a pleasure after the last few years, right, Ash?
Yeah, I mean, it's ironic they're in 6th, don't they, really? Three back-to-back sixth place finishes, which they don't remember about. So, yeah, for me, they've set the bar, haven't they? Villa fans are enjoying watching Villa week in, week out now. And who knows? I mean, yeah, like James said, they're going to dip off now and again, and they did so against Leeds, and they got caught out against Southampton with the set pieces. But all in all, two blips out of seven, they're not bad going, is it? Yeah. They're beating some good sides as well. They beat Leicester, don't forget. Leicester are top of the shop. The way they dismantled Arsenal and Liverpool as well just goes to show what they can achieve. And Smith said it himself, he got it wrong against Leeds. Fair enough. They got a bit reckless when they went in a goal down. That was a mistake. They went toe-to-toe with them. Against Southampton, he called it a freak game, because obviously they scored from three free kicks back-to-back, basically, two of them direct. So that doesn't happen, he said, in many games of football, scoring from three direct free kicks like that. True. So they're two blips. Other than that, that's it, isn't it, really? So they've been pretty faultless for me, and I think I can see a top 10. I'll put my neck on the line and say top 10.
I think it's important as well when you point out those seven fixtures. You've just mentioned that we've slipped up against Leeds, who will be a good side this year. Southampton, the set pieces thing. We've beat the top sides in Leicester, Arsenal and Liverpool. I think it's as important to mention that we beat the size that we expect to be at the bottom as well. We beat Sheffield United and Fulham. It's games that you could slip up on. You go and beat Liverpool. I think someone said, again, post-match, it's all well and good beating Arsenal, but if you don't follow it up with something against Brighton, it's kind of pointless. So I think the evidence suggests so far that you know, you expect to beat Fulham comfortably, and we did. Sheffield United are right down the bottom. We beat them as well. I think that's a good thing to be able to take as well, that yes, we can turn it on against the big sides, but as long as we beat the sides towards the bottom as well, that's what will allow Villa to have a good season.
Yeah,
absolutely. Can't disagree there.
There's a few people dropping in there where they think Villa are going to finish. So if you leave us your predictions of where Villa are going to finish the season, we'll come back to that towards the end. Let's go to the next question, which is from someone says Southgate is a something. I can't repeat.
It's a real dislike, isn't it?
Phil Curley says, we'll stick with England. Phil Curley says, why is Bellingham called up over Barkley? Not like he's going to play anyway. Is it too early to suggest that Barkley could get straight back into that England setup?
I'll let you go first, Ash.
Not for me. I don't know. You know what Southgate's like now. Nothing surprises us with the selection calls. I think just Bellingham's just, I don't know, he's just ticking a box for the FA. I think getting him up from the 21s. I think if Barkley wants to come into it, he'd want to play. I don't think Bellingham's going to play too much anyway. So, yeah, we'll keep Barkley back at Bodymore and whatnot, and getting ready for Brighton doesn't bother me too much. I know Barkley would probably be disappointed with that. And likewise, James Maddison, he was pretty good to be left out as well. So I think it's just ticking a box. I think he's just getting an easy selection call in. I don't think Bellingham's going to play too much. Fair play to him. He's done really well since he's moved to Dortmund. So, yeah, I feel a bit disappointed for Barkley, of course, but being selfish, I'm not too fussed.
Yeah, I agree.
Dortmund really good at training players up, I think. really well. That's not my joke. I forgot who to credit for that.
Claim it as your own, mate. Neil Brown says, a great first 11, but not much strength in depth in this squad. Can we bring in extra quality in January? Now, I suppose this opens up a wider talking point that would ask whether does that depend on how Villa are doing in January? If Villa are mid-table, 8th in January, do they go out and go, right, well, maybe we can push into Europe this season and go and spend another 50 or 60 million on a couple of players in January, which sounds mental. Or if we've dipped off by then, is it, let's not spend too much money and just stick with what we've got?
That's tough, that is. You really put us on the spot there. But I think January is where you kind of have to patch things up, because look at all the injuries and people asking for 5 subs back. And I feel like Villa's time, touch wood, but it will come with injuries. Players are going to succumb to strain and all sorts throughout the season. And, you know, it's only 7 games until the January window. So it's only a really, really short turnaround. I think some minor changes will be fine, but I feel like Villa's start has been so good that generally they've got enough points. I don't see that massive drop-off coming, even if there are some major injuries. There will be a drop-off, but not to the extent where it's like suddenly you're 17th looking over your shoulder. I think that they've done fine. So I need to make like little minor changes here and there. Maybe just a little bit of improvement, a little bit more depth, maybe another loan. I don't see them having to spend 60 million and then kind of affect next season's budget. I want to see them go big again in the summer rather than in January, just to fix a little bit of the season.
But what if we are on the verge of something in January? What if we win? I don't know. Let's say 7 games till January window. What if we win 5 of those 7?
And Villa would you take that gamble?
It's the hallmarks of O'Neill signing Heskey instead of Falcao, isn't it? And they could have gone for it for Champions League. But yeah, no major surgery needed. Perhaps get Borja Bastón back in just for the
bants.
No, them days are long gone now. So yeah, like time says, just be patch up work if needed. Saw a few comments here. Left back competition and Barkley on a permanent. I'd ask that Barkley question in January if the way he's going on. Try and get that deal sewn up as soon as, really. It's clear he's enjoying his football now. Him and Jack Grealish are just like two peas in a pod. They're just constantly together. So hopefully Jack Grealish have a word in his ear. And the way they're going, get him in on a permanent. I don't know how much it'd cost. Would be a costly one, but the one for me, it's worth pursuing.
When we spoke to Ollie from Football London, I think it was Ollie. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, Ollie,
we said, how much do you think Chelsea would want for him? And I think his answer then was 30 million. I think that fee might be going up a little bit with every game that passes, because I would definitely pay more than that, to be honest. I think he's worth more than that.
Yeah, I'd say I agree.
Where should we go to next? We've kind of touched on this, but there's a bit of a follow-up question. So Val says, do you think Villa can finish in the top 10? We've kind of said yes. We are set up for We are set up for away from home, but do we have a problem at home where we have to come out and attack teams and get caught ourselves on the break? What have you seen, Ash, when you've been at these games home and away? Because you'd think that home and away isn't really that much of a thing anymore, but do Villa seem to play different on the road to when they're at Villa Park?
Yeah, if you put the Leeds and Southampton forms in perspective, there was a bit reckless at home, as if they're like... So Leeds and Southampton both played well, and Villa struggled to deal with them, and they struggled for answers. Hence why Smith said there's a bit of a disagreement at half time at Southampton, where the players thought they were getting done, but Smith said no, they weren't. It's just 3-3 kick, literally. And then Danny Ings puts one in the top corner. So they've been caught out at home, trying to force issue a bit too much, and instead of being patient. You see now how they were patient at the Emirates when they was on the ball, and look what they've just carved them open. So yeah, they've been a bit reckless at home, looking to force it too much, and they've been caught out in two games, which is, I mean, it's just two blips, isn't it, really? I'm really intrigued to see them against Brighton at home now, see how they tackle that one. Brighton haven't had too good of a season. They're there for the taking, but, I mean, Brighton have given Villa problems before, haven't they? So we'll see. I think Brighton will be a good yardstick, see how far they've come.
Yeah, I agree.
Tackling them two demons before.
Anything to add, James?
Yeah, not really. I just think you've got to keep plugging. I think there's probably been a bit too much focus on the bad, like Villa versus Leeds, Villa versus Southampton, rather than the matches we've had at home where we succeeded in difficult circumstances, like against Sheffield United when they were put into a bad situation, had to sit back, and Villa managed to break them down somehow. And of course, Liverpool 7-2. I mean, it's not really a home match when you're playing Liverpool because they do what they want. So it was that away thing with Liverpool, I guess. But those are two matches under the lights of Villa Park, and they succeeded. So I think we have to probably see a few more games before maybe we make some snap judgments about being a away performing side, but we'll see.
Do you think that we're at risk of getting too carried away with only such a small sample size of Premier League football, seven games? Are we getting a bit too carried away thinking that Villa can finish in the top 10, or is there genuine cause to say that Villa are that good?
We've smashed a lot of teams, though. Like, look, it could drop off, but, you know, predictions in football are hard to make unless you're like Liverpool and Man City, top two every season. Maybe not this season, it might be Villa up there after beating Arsenal. But no, it's just have fun. I think we're too like obsessed with when we lose, it's back to normal Villa. Like, just have fun, because everyone after Southampton is like, that's it now, isn't it? Like, that's us not finishing sixth, that's 15th, 12th, whatever. Let me beat Arsenal. We show Arsenal a lesson, and look, Arsenal were struggling. They're a team in transition, but Villa were just—they're set up and they have an identity, and they're complete, and they're ready to take advantage. So that's perfect for me. I'll have fun no matter what this season. I think, fingers crossed.
It's the manner of the performances as well, and the manner of the results, just literally wiping the floor with everyone. To be fair, so yeah, the winning in style, which says a lot as well. So it can continue, it will continue.
Also, let's talk about the away form turnaround from last season as well. Two wins on the road all season last year. We've already got three out of three so far. We haven't conceded a goal away from home yet. And that's against Leicester, Arsenal and Fulham. Got there in the end. It's a great turnaround, isn't it, to not even get a clean sheet for the whole of last season, to suddenly have lockdown, improve a little bit after that, and then start a new season, look like a totally different Aston Villa. It's hard to believe we're still in the same year, even. I know 2020's been a mad one, but the same Villa that was so poor in so many parts of last season, in February, March, to what we're seeing now. I don't quite know how they've done it, to be honest.
Ash, weren't Villa's away wins, if we go and want to go back with away wins, didn't Villa beat Bournemouth on the opening day away, and that was one away win, and the next one came halfway through the next season after Villa got relegated against Reading, and that was like a holy day for Villa fans. That's when they crowned like their song at Villa Park. That's the match I remember. That's the match where everyone's phone got smashed, and that was like a year and a half in between. So like, I don't know where people are coming out with this stuff, man.
It's just that it's the attitude for me. They want to defend, they get beyond the ball, but when they lose it. Smith mentioned someone quite telling as well. Like, I think they press for like 4 seconds. And if they don't win the ball back in 4 seconds, just get behind it. And just that graft. And you see them all embracing at the end. They've got a clean sheet. And that means more to them now. And there's no more finger pointing. There's no more looking around. You're so-and-so, you're so-and-so. It's a team shift. And it's just the attitude Dean Smith's instilled with the group. Yeah, it's just long may continue.
Let's rattle through some of these questions then, because I've kind of lost track of how many have come in, so we'll go back a little bit. Danny Barker says, what positions, if any, do you think we should be looking at in the next transfer window? So this is the January window. Would you be looking to actively go out and make a sign, or is it only something you would do if we've got to cover an injury or something like that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe you do. If you were looking at Rashica, Benrahma, you probably do need another winger, I guess, because like I don't think anyone has faith in Alghazi anymore with the poor lad. I don't think when he's on the bench and he's coming off, no one really wants to see that. I think he did well in a Villa shirt, but I think it's like the times have changed now really, really quickly for him. So I feel like, I don't know about you, Ash, but maybe another winger, not a starting winger, but someone with the ability to improve, who isn't at youth level, but probably needs a chance. Something about there. Maybe the Alghazi that we need now rather than the Alghazi we had in the past.
Yeah, he's all right, Alghazi in the past. You're all right. We got Bertrand Traoré. Had an unfortunate first start, didn't they, coming off after 28 minutes. But it's a big investment, that is, 17 million, rising to 19 million. It's a lot of money, that is. So they're going to stick with him, I think. We've seen flashings of his Bristol, good goal there, but he ain't been given a sniff yet. Trezeguet's been keeping him out. I don't think major surgery's needed in January. Another winger that's coming through, I love the look of him yesterday, Jadon Philogene-Vadice. He was excellent yesterday, so keeping tabs on him. He was ice yesterday, as I mentioned, but no major surgery for me. Possibly a long-term left-back. It's a rival target. There's not many coming through the youth system who's a natural left back. So perhaps they'll look at that. They'll look at that in January for the summer, perhaps. But nothing major for me. No.
Philogene-Vadice, I think he scored from almost the halfway line.
Yeah,
against Burnley. Yeah, and Louis Barry, of course, Chukwuemeka. There's a few coming through, but I feel like they probably need someone with a little bit of experience coming. I don't know. I feel like we're just in such a good place now. It's really hard
to
choose an improvement because, like, touch wood, if McGinn goes down or Barkley goes down, like, I'm not going to be, like, really upset that Conor Hourihan has to play again. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like people would want an improvement there. But that is a stronger level of depth than last season. So maybe left back, maybe this and that, but we'll see.
Do you think we'd be at risk of, if we did make a signing in January and spent 25 million on a winger or whatever it is, of upsetting the apple cart or rocking the apple cart of the team kind of unit that Smith has built with this set of players? It's a tight-knit unit, isn't it? Past that first 11, nothing changes, does it really? Alghazi will come on or Traoré will come on for Trezeguet. Beyond that, nothing really else changes. So do you think that making more changes is only going to potentially upset what we've already got? So, you know, making signings for signing's sake, basically.
I don't know. I don't know how much budget there'll be. Obviously, we're still in a pandemic, aren't we? I don't know what other Premier League clubs will do in January either, whether they can spend £30-40 million on players. Regarding upsetting the apple cart, yeah, there's not many change at the moment. Hourihan come out straight away, didn't he, for Barkley? But other than that, it's been the same going ever since. I just can't see a way for anyone. Hence why the subs are just there, just in case there's an injury or whatnot. I think it'll be looked at in the summer for me. I can't see anything being done in January. Villa in a good place, and just look at that Barkley deal, try and get that done.
Yeah. There's a question here that is one that I would look at and go, well, yeah, obviously I wouldn't make any changes, but I know that people are entitled to their opinions and I like to try and give as many viewpoints as we can. But Colin asks, do you stick with Martinez or bring Heaton back? Now, I would not get rid of Emi Martinez out of goal for Villa, regardless of whoever was waiting to come back, to be honest, let alone Tom Heaton. And as much as I like Tom Heaton, Emi Martinez has been a step above. Do you agree with that? Or has Colin got a point that maybe Heaton deserves to come back in for whatever reason?
I feel like people are pretty emotionally attached to Tom Heaton for good reasons. It's not bad to be emotionally attached to a good player. But I think Martinez has come in and he's shown what a number one at Villa should be. He's commanding. He's excitable. He gets really excited about his role. He rarely makes mistakes. He's quick on. He knows where to throw the ball straight away, as we saw with the Grealish counter. I think he's a complete package, and maybe just a little bit more so than Tom Heaton. But that being said, I think Tom Heaton is a master of like the dark arts. Like he will chip away time in a game. Villa don't really need that, and I feel like they've got a keeper in Martinez. He's showing like genuinely elite abilities. He's stupendous with Villa. I think there was a season where Brad Guzan was really good and everyone's like, oh my God, have we been missing this the whole time? And then it just dropped off a cliff with Martinez. I don't know about you, Ash. I don't feel that way. I feel like we're genuinely in safe hands.
Yeah, I think Tony Adams said this morning he's the best keeper in the league. I don't know why Arsenal let him go. Yeah, incredible. But for some question marks, why we spent so much on a goalkeeper?
Yeah, for me, that was me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a decent enough. Heaton was going to come back and everything was okay, but just the levels and when the ball's fizzed into him at the back as well, he deals with it and makes all the right decisions. He come on to a Zoom chat after Arsenal as well, and he's just so happy. He's like, "How are you, lads? You're right, yeah? What do you want to know?" And he's just so down to earth. He didn't have a Brummy accent like that, though. Yeah, but he's such a good guy, and you can tell the players love him as well. Such a good signing. As far as Heaton is concerned, he's another good guy, good geezer to have around the place, and he'll be pushing Martinez all the way. He won't be too irked as well at not getting minutes. He knows he's in front of him. He knows the score. Heaton does. Been around a long time, hasn't he? But yeah, Heaton, I could understand if a crisis does happen, but he'll have to bide his time, and I think he'd be happy to do that. He'd be happy playing football again like he did yesterday and being around the first team group. So yeah, there's no problem there for me. I think, yeah, Martinez number one all the way.
Yeah, I think Tom Heaton will eventually leave as well to somebody because he's good enough to play first team football in the Premier League, and he's not going to get that at Villa, and he would go with all of our best wishes, I would have thought. Yeah, like I was saying, just I was one of those people thinking, do we really need to spend 20 million on a goalkeeper? If Villa don't have much budget, do we really want to spend 20 million there? That isn't really that much of a problem position. But if Tom Heaton is still a couple of weeks away, where would we be now if Tom Heaton misses the first 9 or 10 games of the Premier League? Would we be sat in sixth on 15 points? Having Jed Steer or whoever play those first 7 or 8 games, we wouldn't be, would we? Because Emi Martinez has been so good. So Villa have made a ruthless decision to say, right, we've spotted a goalkeeper that we want. Here's the money. We want to sign him, put him straight in, and he makes an instant impact. And that's what Villa need to do, is to start acting like a big club again.
Same as Matty Cash as well.
Yeah.
Certainly. The two right backs there are okay. And they brought him in, and he's been a revelation as well.
Yeah, agree. There's a few people saying that they're worried about the lack of subs. Someone just said that we average 1.7 subs per game, lowest in the league with Fulham. It scares me if we get an injury, which, yes, if we do get an injury, that is concerning. But is there something to be said that keeping the same 11 is a benefit to Villa? If they all stay fit, to be able to create some consistency and everyone almost starts playing with each other telepathically?
You could have put Keenan Davis on against Arsenal. I think he just wanted to like let Ollie Watkins get another hat-trick, genuinely. But I feel like we could have done it against Arsenal, and I don't know if you heard anything from the pitch side, Ash, but like it just seemed like we should have made some subs, and we just did we make one in that game?
Elgazi came on for 5 minutes.
2 minutes,
that's crazy. Like, I feel like that's a game where you could have just thrown someone on just to have a kick, genuinely just have a kick around and get some minutes, because we were gone. Like, I mean, I don't know what happened there.
Well, I don't think it's going to change too much. You look at like Liverpool last season when they won the league, they didn't change too much, did they, at all?
Yeah.
I think teams of the past have gone on to win the league, not saying they're going to win the league here, but they just picked the same 11, and it's just that consistency that they build together, and just telepathic, as you say, Dan. It's just that understanding that gets built week on week, and he's not going to chuck on subs just for the sake of it. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned at the moment regarding the squad depth. I think Villa are quite a robust bunch anyway. Not many players have had too many injuries there. So, yeah, long may continue for me. I don't know how the subs are feeling, whether that'll impact on their morale or whatnot. But it's just organising behind the closed doors games. We'll have one next week, I think. So they're getting minutes on at Bodymore. And they're picking up the wages, aren't they? So it all depends on them. A few might want to seek a move in January. The way it's going, I don't know, but for me, just keep the 11. They're doing well, and you don't change what don't need fixing.
There's a question here from Ian. I know you've talked about this before, Ash, but I'll get your opinion as well, James. Who says, how long until Ezri Konsa becomes an England regular? It's crazy, isn't it? Because there's this almost narrative in the national media, when Sky will have a couple of pundits chatting about us, or any TV or whatever, and all the same usual cliches come out that, well, we spent a lot of money last year and some of those signings didn't work. And you look at it, in actual fact, a lot of those signings did work. Douglas Luiz in there for 15 million, Ezri Konsa now for 12 million, an absolute steal. Matty Target even. Tory Mings was only signed last season permanently, of course, as well. So these players are still playing for Villa now. So this narrative of, oh, they wasted a lot of money on players that didn't work isn't actually true. It's just a lazy analysis. Trezeguet as well, still playing in the first team. But specifically with Konsa, he signed as almost one for the future a little bit, and all of a sudden he's in there ahead of Engels and keeps his place and looks like an absolute guaranteed starter and potential England future centre-half as well.
Just turned 23. And this time last year, he weren't getting a kick in, was he? Engels was keeping him out. One of the most improved players for me. He looks every bit a classy centre-half. And England, the centre-back for the future, I'll say that now, definitely, the way he's going on. Yeah, he'll bide his time, still learning the game, but he's soaking up the knowledge from JT and Mings next to him. And scary prospect for me, Konsa. I really do think that. Some signing that 12 million quid. Centre-halves are hard to buy as well. Just ask Man City's and whatnot. They're shilling out millions for centre-halves. And I think Villa have got a good in there. I really do.
Yeah, with Konsa, I feel like, you know, I don't like to mention the term selling these players, but like with the resale value, immediately you're like looking at double. Like you're like to even start the conversation, double what you've paid, which is 24, and then it's going to go up and up from there because
in my mind, cheap.
Yeah, even then, like double is cheap. Like it's just the value that he's gained from the coach and everything and the progression. It's been amazing. I don't know about England though. England's a really tough one because like you say, Jude Bellingham gets in. Ross Barkley, James Maddison, even Jack Grealish found it a struggle to get into the England side. James Ward-Prowse scored a hat-trick to you, like two free kicks, against Villa. I don't know if he was in before, but he's had to have a really good season to get back in. Jack Grealish, again, it's really difficult conversations, and I don't know where Konsa gets in, if I'm completely blind. I don't know if Gareth Southgate's going to be the type of guy to play Mings and Konsa at the same time, and there's Connor Cody knocking around. Michael Keane, who's a big part of the group, even though he might, you know, to debate about whether he's better than whomever. But yeah, only time will tell. I think we didn't really see. I think Villa fans had given up on Jack Grealish getting in, and now he's in. And now the national conversation is about how good Jack Grealish is. So it's one of those time will tell ones. I think Konsa, in terms of personality, it's everything Gareth Southgate's looking for as well.
Gareth Southgate can't play three Villa players on the pitch at once anyway. That's must be against some kind of rule somewhere. We'll end with a couple of international break questions and we'll go back to people's comments on where they think Villa will finish. Colin Gibb says, last international break we lost two games. Do you feel that this international break will do the same with Brighton and West Ham, the next two after this? Mark Jerobe says, what areas would you try and improve during this international break if you were Dean Smith? What will he be looking at, Ash?
Good question.
What is there to improve?
Just let him go and have a rest. Just the squad's looked after him.
2 weeks off.
He can look after the squad now, yeah? Simple.
Definitely. I'm with you. Yeah, nothing to work on, really. Just that naivety to give away free kicks against Southampton was a bit schoolboy-esque. For me, 10 out of 10 for a rating if they're getting so far this season. Three games off top. What more do you want?
Yeah.
You can't ask for... You could have asked for a win against Leeds and Southampton and that's it. Like, it's nothing else.
I think it's like we've said before, Villa are going to lose games. Villa will lose plenty more games this season, but I think Villa are going to be a much more well-rounded, balanced side this year for the first time in probably, 10, 12 years, which is... It's great to see, isn't it? We've had a decade of rubbishness for want of a better word for the most part up until the last couple of years, so it's nice to be able to sit here and almost bask in the glory of sixth place again, even if it is only temporary.
I mean, what was the other question about dropping some games after the international break and the fear? It's like I'll lose two every break if I'm going to win the other two like Villa have done. I think we had four: Leicester, Leeds, Southampton and Arsenal, lost 2-1-2. If you lose against Brighton and Newcastle and beat West Ham and Wolves or any combination, it's like it doesn't matter because you feel like all that team now that just doesn't have their head in their hands just crying after a loss going, now how are we going to get out of this one? They're just confident. They just look on, brush under the carpet, move on and change what they can. Like whatever Dean Smith did during lockdown, it's been like a magic bullet. Like the team has just clicked and changed and they haven't looked back. I don't want Villa to be looking back at Leeds and Southampton and go, what have we done there? And I'm looking forward to against Arsenal going, don't do that again. This is a new game, fresh slate, wipe it away, go for it.
Let's read out a couple of these comments then before we head out of here after almost 40 minutes. Holly says, I love this side. They work so hard and look like there was a plan in place and the team ethic looks so strong. Mark Drove says, 4 months ago, we were celebrating the odd decent cross from the wide areas, which is very true. Times have changed. Ian says, this is the most exciting team to watch since the 90s. That's interesting, actually, because there were some exciting times in the O'Neill era on the counter-attack, but obviously I wasn't around for the 90s era. Maybe I have to ask Matt about that. Richard says, where have we finished this season for a change? It's definitely been the best season us fans have had for a long time. We're definitely going in the right direction. And that's probably the overriding point, isn't it, really? It doesn't really matter for, you know, within reason, where Villa finish this season. Obviously, if they finish 18th, that will matter. But if they finish 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th or 13th, none of those really matter. It doesn't make a difference between Europe and relegation, does it? But it shows that Villa are heading in the right direction. And this year, we've gone from 17th to somewhere mid-table. And with a good transfer window in the summer, we then go from mid-table hopefully onto the edges of Europe, if not getting into that top six, or even winning a trophy. We've not even talked about cup competitions. Let's go and win a trophy.
Have to win the FA Cup. We're going to knock down the other one. Gave up too early.
Let's go and win the FA Cup this year and finish in the top half. What a season that would be.
No fans,
that's true. That's true. Maybe we'll be back in by then.
That's the key shame about it, really. The way Villa are playing, nobody's there to see it inside the stadium. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah, they thrive as well. I just get these.
I actually saw someone on Twitter talking about that, saying, would Villa be doing as well as they are if there were crowds there? The usual forwards, get it up, don't be patient, play it forward, all that kind of thing. Would Villa be able to be playing in the same way with the pressure of a crowd? Or is it different this year?
I think Villa have earned a little bit of credit now. I think back in, you know, when we were at the games in the before times, I think the fans they wanted to direct the play. They wanted to go do this, do that. I think that comes from, like, even going back to the relegation season, asking Julian Lescott and Michael Richards, for all intents and purposes, two experienced players, telling them what to do, because you're just so scared of losing constantly and doing this and that and trying to have some influence. I think Villa have earned a bit of credit now. They can relax. They should be better with fans, because the fans know that Villa know what they're doing.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we'll someone else has just commented, the before times. I like that, the pre-COVID days, the good old days when we could go into stadiums. But yeah, we'll call it a day there. Thank you very much to Ash and James for joining me this afternoon. We've got a lot of content lined up in the international break. So hard to say that, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. Do you want to give a bit of a preview to what we've got coming up, James, so I can stop talking?
Can I give away the big one that you and Matt have got planned, or we kind of keep that a secret?
You can say that we're doing something, but actually, you can't give away the name.
Two secrets. Yeah,
I never give away the name before it's in the bag, because these things fall apart.
There could be two big ones, but tomorrow we're speaking about Arsenal with David, who, if you remember, reviewed the Ross Barkley signing, and everything he said came true. He was brilliant, Ross Barkley, as we know, and he will continue to be brilliant. But we'll be talking about Arsenal and how Villa have done, and catching up with how he's fought as a neutral and someone who's pretty smart, how he thinks Villa have done so far. So hope you're looking out for it.
Yeah, we've got a few bits in the pipeline. Like I said, we've got a couple of interviews lined up for the back end of this week that will hopefully be out in the international break as well. But like I said, I'm not going to say who those are, because these things often fall apart and they might not even happen. So just wipe your memory if this all falls apart. So yeah, we'll call it a day there. Thank you very much to everyone who tuned in and asked questions. We do appreciate it. If you've watched or listened to this on demand on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or wherever, do get in touch in the comments and leave iTunes reviews and all those kind of things. They're very, very helpful. So thank you very much, and up the Villa.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.